welcome to Moment of Who.
Yay!
We are so prepared.
This was a last-minute recording.
Well, as in case anyone missed it, Doctor Who is obviously not currently airing, but we've got approximately 9 months until it, or 8 months, until it does again. So we decided to take a look at some of the classic series. And this month, January 2014, we are looking at William Hartnell's series, The First Doctor.
Spoilers.
What?
These books are from your future. You don't want to read ahead, spoil all the surprises. Not peeking at the end.
Isn't travelling with you one big spoiler?
I try to keep you away from major plot developments. Which, to be honest, I seem to be very bad at.
Which, you know, I wasn't sure how I would feel when watching the earlier serials, because we're used to more modernized, you know, filmmaking and TV making. Like, the most comfort I can go going back is probably around the 80s and feel comfortable. But with the black and white era, it's a very different style of acting. It's a very different style of directing. And Doctor Who is very much a low-budget show.
Right. I'm a big fan of old movies, so I don't think the black and white bothered me too much. What I did notice was probably budgetary. It was that sometimes the sound went in and out. There were probably not enough microphones on set. And I think from time to time, the actors actually spoke faster than I was expecting, too. So at times it was hard to catch dialogue between all of those different aspects.
Right. I should backtrack a little bit and say I love black and white movies, too. What is hard for me is the black and white sci-fi stuff. Mm-hmm. That is tough. But I was pretty impressed with how this was made, and maybe that's because I went in with low expectations. But yeah, I really liked the episode. I really liked at least the first episode with Susan, and then she started acting crazy in the second episode, but that's okay.
Yeah, I guess, well, we watched An Unearthly Child, which is the name of the first episode, but also the name of the first serial or story. And which is actually four episodes, which is An Unearthly Child, The Cave of Skulls, The Forest of Fear, and The Firemaker. Old Who is different that way. It reminds me sort of like you always hear about, you know, Victorian novels were written a chapter at a time and published.
Yeah.
You know, so they were serialized. Yeah, I think the first, you know, 25 minutes and An Unearthly Child are definitely what sets the scene. And Susan does become slightly different when we go back to the Stone Age. A little more, I don't know, typical reactionary 15-year-old girl, maybe?
I don't even know if it's that. Like, she was very much hysterical that her grandfather was gone. She's like, no! No! Grandfather!
It's true, though. You'd think if she'd traveled with him before, she'd be used to him disappearing, right?
I know. Like, I guess we're used to him disappearing, and we're used to the companions wandering off by themselves.
Right.
So, I guess this is the first time we see someone really freak out when they're separated from the Doctor. And they're from the same planet, mm-hmm. So, or they're supposed to be. Canon is weird like that. And we're also introduced to Barbara and Ian, who are Susan's school teachers. And I wasn't very clear about what their relationship was at the very beginning.
Aren't they just friends or colleagues?
I don't know. They seem a little too close for comfort for school teachers. Does that make sense? I just would have preferred to have had their relationship established. I don't know.
I get that, but at the same time, it's not really about them.
I know.
But I do. I like Anne a lot. I don't know why, but I find him very amusing. I think it was in the second episode, The Cave of Skulls, his, like, discussion/argument with the Doctor about the nature of time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I like you. We're going to be friends.
And the doctor is a jerk sometimes, man.
Well, the doctor is still a jerk sometimes.
Oh.
Not but well. He, like, yes.
He kidnapped the school teachers, though. That's weird.
Yeah, that's a little weird. But he also, when that one caveman is hurt, he, like, doesn't want to help him. Because helping him would prevent them from getting away. So, I mean, clearly this is the first story that's told. So there is definitely some evolution that goes along with that character.
Right.
To what we know as the standards of the Doctor. But there's some character traits that have remained, you know, when they accuse him of thinking he's smarter and better than everyone else in the room. Or pouting or complaining when he doesn't get his way. Like, yeah, that's still there.
Yeah. Some things don't change with regenerations. Also, I'm not a big fan of Stone Age. So I'm going to admit that when they ended up in that era, I sort of lost interest.
Yeah, I have to agree that prehistory is not my favorite history. But those were some very well-spoken cavemen.
They were! So the TARDIS must translate grunts and...
Oh, that's funny. But I did find it interesting that for some reason I had thought that the chameleon circuit on the TARDIS was always malfunctional. Is that a thing? Malfunctional? Malfunctioning? But it's not until this trip, apparently, that it gets stuck, because everyone remarks on how... Not everyone. The Doctor and Susan both remark on how it hasn't camouflaged itself.
Right. That was weird. Also, it sounds like Susan came up with the term TARDIS.
Yes. She says she made it up.
Yeah. Because time and relative dimension in space is difficult.
My question, watching this so many years after it aired, would be, if you were a kid and saw this on TV, take yourself back in time.
Okay.
If you come across this new show on television, you see the first 25 minutes of Unearthly Child, are you coming back for more?
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I would definitely be pulled in by this.
Yeah.
Although,
very much.
For a kid's show, there's a lot of killing in this first story.
There is.
Which, I mean, I get that it's a different time and, like, everything is kind of, you know, sugar-coated and made squeaky clean for kids these days. But I was still very surprised at how much killing there was.
They did travel back to the Stone Age, but what?
And flaming skulls and bones everywhere.
Again, I would come back for more as a kid, but also as an adult, I can laugh at the fact that these cavemen are like, Cal make fire from his fingers, the orb! It's like, Cal, Zah,
yeah.
The orb! It's like, I don't know who to pay attention to. I don't know who is who, I just know that the orb is the sun.
It got confusing, didn't it?
It did. And also, you would figure that the doctor would know how to make fire without matches.
Right?
At the very beginning.
Right. But that it's very weird, the cavemen, because they're clearly smarter about some things, like language, but seem clueless that, you know, a non-bloody knife can't be the word murder weapon. It has to be a bloody knife. I don't know what I'm supposed to believe is their intelligence level.
We just have to accept, which is the rule with a lot of series,
yeah,
that the very first episode or serial, you just need to push.
It takes some
beyond.
Time.
Yeah.
Although in the very first episode, I did really like how they set up the mystery of Susan.
I do too. It made her really interesting. Yeah. The fact that she didn't know how many shillings were in a pound, and she thought the decimal system was involved.
Yeah, understanding a lot of history and knowing what's wrong with her history books, but not understanding, like, current day culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also found it very interesting that she wanted to stay in one time, you know, just settle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I found myself laughing when she says she loved England in the 20th century. Because I'm thinking, so does the BBC filming budget to this day.
It really does. What else do we have to say about this?
Well, we got an email.
We did.
We did, from Reggie. And he says, wanted to send a quick word about An Unearthly Child for The Moment of Who. To get ready for the 50th, I tried to watch as much of old Doctor Who as I could. Made it to the fourth Doctor before I got Doctor Who overload. But the first episode still sticks out. It's amazing to me how many of the things that make us love Who today were present in the beginning. The adventurous spirit of the Doctor and his carefree attitude are some of my favorite aspects of any Doctor. He's like a kid with a cool toy and he just wants to have fun. This first serial is also a good example of just how different he is from us. As much as we humanize the Doctor, we sometimes forget how much different a Time Lord is from a human. Their concerns are not necessarily ours. That can be seen plainly in the way he treats Chesterton and Barbara, and how funny is it that the Doctor kidnaps his first companions. But if you are going to be kidnapped, why not buy a Time Lord who will take you on a grand adventure in space and time? P.S. I recommend any Who fans to see the special An Adventure in Space and Time. It has made me respect and cherish the first Doctor even more.
Thank you, Reggie.
An Adventure in Space and Time was really a fantastic little TV movie.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really
I'm an awful person.
Amazing.
I've been really busy.
Understandable. But even, you know, I watched it without knowing too much about the first Doctor or his time on the show. But, it's you don't miss anything. And it's more about how they got the show up and running and kept it going when the BBC didn't necessarily want to keep it going. You know, I teared up a little bit.
I really want to see it, and I'm going to, when things quiet down a little bit, which is probably this week. So yeah, I might watch it this week. But what I find interesting about Reggie's email is the sentence that says, as much as we humanize the Doctor, we sometimes forget how different a Time Lord is from a human. And I think of that quote from Stephen Moffat about both Sherlock and Doctor Who, that says the Doctor is a god trying to be a human, whereas Sherlock is a human trying to be a god. And I think that's what we're used to now with Doctor Who. I guess it's evolved so much from that clearly otherworldly, non-human character that he started out as, and he became more humanized as he went on and we saw through the eyes of his companions, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense. But I think, I do think it's funny that he basically kidnaps his first companions. But looking back on it, you know, through the lens of the last 50 years, you can maybe consider that the first hint of his playfulness. You know, he puts on, am I wrong? He puts on this appearance of being this grumpy old man. But then, like, why would he kidnap these people? Because he thinks it will be fun, right?
Yeah. know? Sorry, I had to translate the thought of kidnapping into fun for a second. Because in other sci-fi and fantasy and shows, we are taught that kidnapping is bad.
Well, yes. But at no point are they trying to run away from him. Maybe it's because the sudden movement of the TARDIS knocks them unconscious, but that's not the point.
No, remember, they're trying to get out of the TARDIS, and Ian, accidentally zaps himself, and Susan is like, Grandfather, let them go!
She is a little bit crazy, isn't she?
It's so weird, but the more I think about it, the more I just love that character because she's clearly insane. Maybe Time Lady hormones are crazy. Goodness. It's a really fun episode, though. Yeah, I'm glad we watched this instead of one of the other ones, because clearly this episode is one of the most important of the Doctor Who run because it's the first one. And for a long time, it was lost. No one could find it. Right?
Was it? I'm not sure.
Checking out the Wikipedia. Oh, it was originally released on VHS in 1990. And the unaired pilot, edited with the second take of the TARDIS scene, was released as part of the Hartnell years. I thought it was one of the last episodes.
No, I think it's just not available a lot of places. It's not on Netflix. I think because it's outside of copyright, it is available on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also available on Hulu. But yeah, a lot of the older stuff, because it wasn't a thing to save television, was mm-hmm. recorded over or thrown out or whatever. So there are some episodes that may never come to light.
Right. Although I think they just found some in Egypt?
Yes.
Maybe?
At one of the relay stations. I think they were Second Doctor episodes.
This seems like a very short episode of Moment of Pooh. Because I can't think of anything else to say.
We don't really have anything to compare it to.
Not really. Which I think is great, honestly. So, obviously these are going to be much shorter, but that's okay, because sometime we need to let the feed breathe.
And we are talking about, you know, one story instead of three or four stories.
Right. Which is kind of fun for us, because now we don't have to take as many notes.
Right. Anyway, so mid-February we'll be asking the Facebook group again for recommendations on Second Doctor episodes, and then later in that month, we will be putting out another mini Moment of Who.
Yay! I say yay a lot. It's my thing. Might be my catchphrase, but I can't trademark it.
That would be a difficult thing to trademark.
It would be. It obviously needs to belong to Kermit the Frog, but whatever.
That's only if you also do the arm flail.
Well, you can't see that in podcast.
What is wrong with us?
I don't know. All right, people. That's going to wrap it up for us. I'm Casey.
I'm Sue.
And this has been your Moment of Who.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squareitude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek.
If you wish to contact the Anomaly Supplemental, you can at the email address, which is moregirlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or if you like hearing the sound of your own voice, like I do, you can call the voicemail line at 248-419-GEEK. Yes, it's one of those numbers that you can use alphabets on, and that's 248-419-4335. To stay up to date with Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental News, you can follow them on Twitter at Anomaly Podcast. That's the at symbol, A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast. Check out the Anomaly blog for geeky articles and Anomaly supplemental show notes. Find it online at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Theme music is used by permission of Marion Call. Thank you, Marion. Find out more at mariancall.com. Or, of course, you can follow her on Twitter at Marion Call. That's MarianCall. Anomaly was created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 Unported License. Say that three times fast.
World is much too interesting to entertain ennui, and I won't ever play it cool, so I won't ever once be bored. Oh, I have been alert since long before anyone heard that fair and scrawny was the latest fashion trend. And I still be a geek after nobody thinks it's chic, because I don't require approval.
Sizes are the best sizes. Like mini Snickers.
Those are just a tease.
Well, they're not a tease if you eat more than one of them. Here's the thing. You feel better about eating multiple mini Snickers than you do eating multiple regular size Snickers.
Okay, well, that is true. Yes.
Man, I want a Snickers now.